Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a lovely Tuesday morning, July 23rd, the Feast of St. Bridget, memorial of that great saint. And we have some great discussions coming up very quickly, as a matter of fact, right after the news. And out of the gate at 8:15, excited to have our evangelization director from the Archdiocese of Detroit, Father Stephen Pullis, joining me live because they have a wonderful event going on in downtown. It's part of a series of Summer in the City in terms of things going on in Detroit, which are really cool. Last week we had Father Mario Amore, who is now the the pastor at St. Al's downtown, and he's doing all kinds of great things. They are really opening up the church and welcoming so many people with confession and daily mass and different events, and they actually took to the streets last week and met with folks and handed out different items to the poor and also had evangelization things going on. It's just really exciting to see what's happening with the new evangelization through Unleash the Gospel. So Father Stephen Pullis, continuing that fine tradition with an event in Greektown, I believe it's at Pizza Popolis tomorrow night, so he'll give us all the details. We want SRO, standing room only, without violating any fire codes, of course. We want everything to be legal on the up and up, but we are sure that he's going to draw a crowd. He's a great speaker. He's really a lot of fun, but also so faithful and interesting to talk with because he's right in that age group and kind of has a sense of what's going on with the millennials and the young people in that part of the city, which continues to grow in terms of more and more millennials, young professionals moving into downtown Detroit. So Father Stephen Pullis from the Archdiocese of Detroit, who's the head of evangelization and catechesis in schools, he joins us live at 8:15. He'll take your calls. And then we're going to check in with a longtime personal friend of mine, but someone that does so much great work at St. Joan of Arc and her husband as well. Christine Stewart Haas is joining us, and she's coordinating an effort at the parish level in Macomb County, St. Joan of Arc being one of the larger parishes in the south end of the county, one of the largest parishes in the Archdiocese. I think we're the third largest, as a matter of fact. But she's coordinating the efforts to get those petition signatures signed. Now, the Archdiocese of Detroit and Catholic churches around the area taking part in a big coordinated effort to ban dismemberment abortion in the state of Michigan. And so they're encouraging parishes to take this on and to really get people involved. And so what I wanted to ask Christine about in terms of how this could be used maybe as kind of like a pilot, and St. Joan gets this organizational thing done, and then people just kind of hop on board and maybe do the same at their parish, and how this is going to work. And in addition to training people to get parishioners at St. Joan signed in terms of this petition, then taking it out to the streets, which is really, really important. So Christine Stewart Haas will be joining me at about 8:35, 8:40. And then I'm super excited to have Carrie Solomon and Chuck Konzelman back on from the movie Unplanned. They got released in Canada last week, and there's been a lot going on with these two guys who really have been under attack. So what a shock. A movie about what goes on inside Planned Parenthood, and they're under attack. Who knew? I'm shocked and appalled. Anywho, Carrie Solomon and Chuck Konzelman will be joining us live, and it'll be a great opportunity for you to chat with them, especially for our wonderful listeners across the river in Canada. We know we have a lot of Canadian Catholic listeners, and I'd love to hear from you if you've seen the film, because it has been released now, and it was sold out. Limited release, but sold out and very well received and making a ton of money, despite the efforts to keep it out of that country neighboring our borders. So we'll talk with them at 15 minutes past the hour. And then this week on Thursday, we're going to be marking the 51st anniversary of Humana Vitae. Chris Reynolds is the executive director of the Couple to Couple League, and we're going to be talking about the efforts to speak the truth in love and really help couples understand why the church teachings regarding contraception and life are so important to that relationship. And if you really want a good book about that, pick up a copy of Julian Gregg Alexander's Marriage 911, How God Saved Our Marriage and He Can Save Yours Too, because they go through their whole testimony of what they discovered about the church teaching on artificial contraception, what it was doing to their relationship, and how when they embraced the church teaching, it changed everything, turned their lives around, not only saved their marriage, but they were so affected by it, they said, we have got to do something about it, and that's when they went into full-time marriage ministry. and they are experts on this topic as well. And you can find out more information from them at the alexanderhouse.org, or is it .com? alexanderhouse.com, I believe. So that's our program for today. Don't forget, you can call in with a question for any of our guests. We welcome your calls, 877-573-7825. We also welcome the nice weather. It's going to be mostly sunny, at least for a good portion of the day across the state. Checking the forecasts in the different areas, northern Ohio, southeastern Michigan, western Michigan, northern lower Michigan, the UP, and those of us right here in the Thumb and the southeastern Michigan area. Sunny skies, but very comfortable temperatures, a high of around, well, depending on where you live, if you're up north, it's a tad cooler, but a beautiful day up north as well, about 77 degrees for your high. And we could see highs in the lower portion of Michigan and northwestern Ohio of about 80 degrees, maybe a little bit warmer. Sunny most of the day, and they're saying some clouds can move in to this section, and we could get some thunderstorms later on. But very comfortable, low humidity. Get out there and enjoy it. But, of course, take us with you on AveMariaRadio.net. 8:07 already. Lots of news to get through this morning on a Tuesday. Let's do that right now and see what's happening in and around your world on July 23rd, 2019. The cause for canonization of servant of God Edward Flanagan, the American priest who founded Nebraska's Boys Town, advancing with the presentation of a summary of records on his life. The Congregation for the Causes of Saints receiving the records yesterday, along with a letter of support from the Omaha Archbishop George Lucas. Pope Francis yesterday, or today actually, naming Mark Brennan the Bishop of Wheeling, Charleston, West Virginia, following financial corruption and alleged sexual assault by the former bishop of the diocese, Michael Bransfield. According to the Catholic News Agency, Brennan, who is 72, is an auxiliary bishop in Baltimore, where he has served since his appointment back in 2016. The West Virginia Episcopal appointment, following a Vatican communique last week stating the Bishop Emeritus of Wheeling, Charleston, Michael J. Bransfield, will no longer be allowed to take part in public masses or live within his former diocese. Bransfield reportedly had sexually harassed, assaulted, and coerced seminarian priests and other adults during his time as a bishop of Wheeling, Charleston, and was also found to have given large cash gifts to high-ranking church leaders using money from the diocese. Mark Mayfield tells us about a Santa Rosa priest in California who's accused of stealing almost $100,000 in collection plate cash.
The theft was uncovered when first responders found $20,000 in cash that was in a car driven by Father Oscar Diaz after he was involved in a crash last Wednesday. Bishop Robert Vasa says the money was in security bags used for routine collections by the Resurrection Parish, where Diaz was pastor. Vasa says at least another $77,000 had been stolen from other churches where Diaz served. The diocese has not pressed criminal charges, but it has suspended Diaz, and an internal investigation continues.
The Puerto Rican Bishops Conference announcing it will hold a 24-hour encounter this weekend in the face of the territory's social and governmental instability. Protesters calling for the resignation of Governor Ricardo Rosello as his administration has faced pressure over corruption in its response to the territory's debt crisis and economic recession. Rosello announcing that he will not seek re-election next year, but intends to complete his term. Scott Pringle tells us the U.S. Senate expected to vote today to extend funding for the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund.
Well, this is a huge moment that thousands of sickened 9/11 first responders have been waiting for. And Uniformed Firefighters Association President Gerard Fitzgerald, he says his members are in D.C. today for the big Senate vote.
These folks need this money to continue their lives, and if they're going to pass, their families need this money to either stay in or maintain their homes.
The Senate expected to approve the bill that's already cleared the House. It extends funding for decades for those with 9/11 related illnesses.
More than 200,000 people without power in New Jersey and New York following intense storms late yesterday. The heavy rain turning roads into rivers quickly and the strong winds knocking down tree limbs and power lines.
I was scared because I was in sandals. You couldn't see what was under you, but you could, like, I mean, the water was at my waist.
Massive hail coming down in Oakland, New Jersey right now.
As of 5 a.m. in New Jersey, there were 188,000 JCP&L customers in the dark. The majority of those are in Ocean and Monmouth counties. Some 55,000 PSE&G customers remain without power. Most of those are in South Jersey in Burlington County. More than 6,000 Con Edison customers in New York City remain in the dark, and Long Island has 3,000 customers out. Meanwhile, folks along Florida's East Coast bracing for rain from a tropical depression that's forming in the Bahamas. Meteorologist Janessa Webb tracking that system.
The front will make its way across the southeast, and this will stay offshore, but it will cause flooding rain across Florida and coastal areas from South Carolina to North Carolina.
The National Hurricane Center says the storm should dump 1 to 3 inches of rain today. The tropical depression expected to remain weak. Forecasts have it staying just offshore for the next day or so. Denver health officials ramping up efforts to prevent an outbreak of hepatitis A after a new round of cases among the city's homeless.
In the last 4 weeks, there have been 4 cases of hepatitis A among people experiencing homelessness here in Denver.
That's Dr. Seth Foldy with the Denver Public Health Department, who says the city is providing free vaccinations in parks and shelters. Sites of the vaccines are offered and marked by orange and purple flags. Health officials believe Denver's outbreak is tied to a larger one in southern Colorado. And former London Mayor Boris Johnson will be the new Prime Minister of the UK after being elected of the Conservative Party today. Reporter Bill Neely says he will face, though, some challenges outgoing Prime Minister Theresa May failed to resolve in managing Great Britain's exit from the European Union.
Boris Johnson doesn't have a lot of time to impose himself and his views to unite the country, and most of all, to get a deal on Brexit, because he has said Britain must be and will be out of the European Union by November, do or die.
Polls ahead of voting that ended yesterday show Johnson would support as high as 70% in his party contest with former Secretary Jeremy Hunt. Johnson will now formally take over as Prime Minister tomorrow afternoon. And a new study, as Lisa Carter explains, says women are more likely to die in car crashes because female crash test dummies, apparently, are too small.
Hey, buddy, I didn't know you knew how to drive.
Drive? Drive?
You could learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your safety belt.
You might remember the old-school crash dummies, Vince and Larry reminding people to wear a seatbelt. But it sounds like the newer dummies might need a little fine-tuning for women. Crash test dummies that simulate women are 5 feet tall and weigh 110 pounds. But the average American woman is nearly 5'4" and weighs 170 pounds. Researchers say that wide difference is a big reason women are 73% more likely than men to be seriously hurt or killed in a crash.
And it is a Tuesday morning, a lovely Tuesday morning. Could get some thunderstorms around the state and parts of Ohio today, but overall looking pretty good. Other parts of the country are getting what we had over the weekend, as you heard. New Jersey and New York getting clobbered with storms last night, and in other parts of the country, including North Carolina and Florida, they're getting some heavy rain, so keep those folks in your prayers. Our phone number is 877-573-7825. Summer in the D, summer in the city, continuing with some great events, including one tomorrow night at the Algae on Tap with Father Stephen Polis from the Department of Evangelization at the Archdiocese of Detroit. He joins us next to tell us all about it. Stay tuned.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor, in memory of Heidi Lee Legia, who died 10 years ago on this day. Heidi followed Mother Teresa's words by doing, quote, small things with great love throughout her 34 years. It's not how much you do, but how much love you put in the doing.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. Each week we go into the Ave Maria CD library. We pulled on a talk or two to see what our Lord might have to say to us. Most of these talks are recorded at area gatherings and conferences. Most of the speakers are nationally known. The topics are varied, but they are all centered on the Lord, and they all are worth your listening time. You're back from Mass. It's not yet dinner time. Why not sit back and join us? Be fed on the Lord. Listen this and every Sunday afternoon at 3 for Putting On the Mind of Christ on 990 WDEO in the Metro Detroit area and 1440 WMAX in the Saginaw Valley. Putting On the Mind of Christ is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
What are the doctrines Catholics believe, and why do we believe them? Hi, this is Peggy Stanton. Join me on Power from the Pews for more than a minute with the Catechism as I quiz the experts, top theologians, philosophers, and catechists to share the truths about our Catholic faith. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net.
Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. In 1959, the United Nations issued the Declaration on the Rights of the Child. This document states, quote, "The child, by reason of his physical and mental immaturity, needs special safeguards and care, including appropriate legal protection before as well as after birth," end of quote. This was incorporated into a treaty, the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which states in Article 6, "States parties recognize that every child has the inherent right to life." To us in the pro-life movement, the next steps are obvious. The language of these declarations and treaties needs to be brought to its consistent and logical conclusion. The violence of abortion, which denies the child's right to life and kills the child, is in fact prohibited by the language of these documents. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Happiness based on true, deep joy, joy that doesn't waver regardless of our circumstances. How do we find it? Father Stephen Paulus from the Archdiocese of Detroit, who is the evangelist extraordinaire running the evangelization department, is going to be speaking. I was wrong. It's tonight. So let me correct that. First of all, it's tonight in Greektown. I don't know why I thought it was tomorrow night, Father, but I want everybody to show up tonight. And this is a Theology on Tap event, so you can't be as old as me. You have to be, what is it, between 30 and between 20 and 40, correct? Good morning, Father. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Teresa. 21 to 35 is our kind of general audience, but we will not be IDing at the door for the upper age limit. So, if someone wants to sneak in, we'll be okay with that.
All right. So this is at, where's this pit taking place in Greektown?
We're going to be in the upper room of Pizzapopolis.
Pizzapopolis.
And this is really an effort throughout the summer to reach out. I work in Detroit, and there's a flood of young people who come in as interns with all different kinds of companies over the summer. And this is week three of our series to reach out particularly to those who are living and working downtown to give them an opportunity to grow in their faith.
And this is also connected to Theology on Tap, which is something that's been around for a while. So you're really talking about helping them search for, we say happiness, but true meaning in their life, correct?
Correct. Like I said, this is week three, and we're going through the transcendental. So week one was about beauty, and we did this wonderful art night. Last week we did a service project, and I know you had Father Mario Amore on about the goodness that comes through in our faith, and this week is about truth. So we're kind of trying to hit each of those aspects, and the deep truth that God desires us to be filled with joy, and he gives us the means and the opportunity to be filled with not just a happiness that's in this world, but a deep abiding joy and peace that comes only from a relationship with him.
There's a lot of discussion out there among millennials especially, and you know this, working with a lot of young people, that it's all about being happy, but if I'm going to be happy, I don't want to be quote-unquote religious. If I have to have a God component, I want to be quote-unquote spiritual.
Yeah, which is gets to part of the desire to be to be happy, but it misses kind of a deeper reality that for us to be filled with joy and to be really, truly happy means we have to commit ourselves to something. If I'm in a perpetual state of non-committal, just kind of dipping my toes in the water, I'm never going to experience that joy that comes with uniting myself to something, worthwhile. You can think about any analogy, whether it's playing an instrument or playing a sport or being great at something. It only comes through the commitment and the desire to work through the challenges of that and to sacrifice some other part of my life, to say no to something else, that I can really experience the depth of joy that comes And there's nothing deeper than the relationship with Jesus Christ, who wants me and desires me to be fully alive, fully myself, but that only comes when I'm united with him.
Right, right. Your identity is in him. How is some of the problems, do you think, in the world and in the church keeping not just young people, from all of us, away from that commitment, or using it maybe as an excuse, so I can't get involved in this church or that church, because look at how bad these people are that run it.
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of things there. One is just realizing the brokenness of our world, or of even people in the church. We find excuses to say, well, it's not worth committing myself to that because there's something missing in that person or those people who do that. That's a fundamental misunderstanding of what it means for us to be part of a community or a family. You know, I think about my own family, who I love deeply, but we're not perfect, and it still requires me to be invested in my family. So in order for me to be a part of any gathering, and especially the body of Christ, his church, requires putting up with people's weaknesses and brokenness, and people putting up with my weakness and brokenness.
Yeah.
But I think there's something particular now with young people where so many of their peers are not really interested in that investment. And I think as the church, we have to show people, and Pope Francis wrote this in Christus Vivit, his post-synodal apostolic exhortation about young people, that it's really worth an investment of myself to give myself to a cause and to something worthwhile for me to find a true joy in my life. And I think we have to do that by living it ourselves, by showing how committed we are to young people and to Christ's body, the church.
You see a lot of young people getting involved in activities and organizations that aren't helpful or fruitful, but that are very, how do you want to say, dedicated to their particular cause, and you think, wow, if they can only get involved in the church, the difference they can make, as opposed to causing so much division. I'm thinking of the very violent group Antifa. I was watching some stories on some of the violence, and there's two senators who are trying to get them declared a terrorist group because of the many problems they've caused around the country, and just literally attacking people physically. And you see a lot of young people drifting and drawn to groups like this, and at the same time you also see the statistics for suicide and attempted suicide, especially among younger people in that age group, Father, that you're going to be addressing tonight, through the roof. So something is wrong, something is missing in their lives, or should we say someone?
Yeah, I think with both of those instances, you see a kind of despair. With suicide, you see the ultimate despair, but a group like Antifa or those who are just kind of committed to destruction, oftentimes hiding their true identity.
Right, they never show their faces, yeah.
Right, there's a kind of like giving up on God's desire to do something good in my life and in the lives of others. And I think it's completely different when we turn towards Christ. He doesn't want to cover up our identity. He wants us to be fully ourselves. And as John Paul II said, which always hits at my heart, life with Christ is a great adventure. And every great adventure is going to have times of excitement, some fear, and some thinking, what the heck did I just do setting off on this journey? But ultimately, it's a life worth living, and a life that's fully alive, and not a life that's kind of curated based on my Facebook algorithm or my Instagram profile or whatever I get to control completely. The adventure part of our life means we step into the unknown, and we know that Christ is with us.
Yeah, and I think once you grasp that and you just let go and let God, then he knows he can work with you, and then just hang on. I mean, he's not going to give you drop down and give you a sign and point in this direction. But if you pray every day and you ask him for guidance, he is going to show you step by step. He never shows us a full picture. I mean, we couldn't take it if he showed us everything that he could do with us and wants to do with us. I mean, if God would have told me 25 years ago that I'd be a syndicated talk show host and I'd be a pro-life activist, I would have told him, what? I'd be like Moses. You want me to do what? Because you just don't. We don't see the big picture, and there's a lot of development and growth that has to go on as you go on that journey and that adventure.
Yeah, you know this, Teresa, too. But I hear talking to married couples, they said, I would have never known what my marriage held when I said I do at the altar. Right, 20 years later, or 50 years later, or I think as a priest, it's been 8 years for me. Like, I could have never imagined every part of my priesthood on the day of my ordination. But that's part of what Jesus asks us to commit ourselves to, the unknown, say yes to this adventure, and to trust that he is with us in all the great moments and all the challenges, and that if we remain faithful to him, not only will we inherit eternal life at the end, but the Lord will give us the joy of knowing mm-hmm. that we're his disciple all throughout our life.
So you didn't see yourself where you are right now in this very important position at such an important time, seriously, though, in unleashing the gospel, and also up there on the stage being a great host and MC in front of 1,000 people, 1,000 of your closest friends, right?
Well, Teresa, I was thinking more about like what's going on in the church now and how I think the Lord is calling me and other priests to a kind of, not to be overly dramatic, but a heroic level of faithfulness
right.
to Christ in his church in the midst of all this. But neither did I see myself working in the chancery or emceeing the Archbishop's Gala.
Well, that's what I'm saying. God uses you in all kinds of ways, because it's like, wow, if you think about when you were in seminary, just trying to get through seminary, right? And you're like, oh, I have another exam. What am I going to do? And here, when you keep saying yes, God uses you in ways you can't even imagine.
That are more beautiful and more wonderful and open up a capacity in my life to receive a gift from the Lord that I never even knew was possible. So, God desires us to be more happy and more joyful than we desire in our lives. And if we say yes to the adventure of living with him, then we have the opportunity for our greatest fulfillment.
We're talking with Father Stephen Polis, who's going to be the keynote speaker tonight. I made a mistake earlier. I just want to make sure if you're tuning in that you understand it is this evening. It's going to be really great. It's going to be a Theology on Tap at a wonderful restaurant in Greektown in downtown Detroit, Pizza Popolis. And Father Stephen Polis grew up at St. Cyril and Methodius in Sterling Heights. And he earned a BA in political science from Madonna and then entered the seminary that same year, ordained a priest of the Archdiocese back in 2011, assigned as parochial vicar, St. Joseph the Worker Catholic Church in Lake Orion in 2013, and then as a secretary to the Archbishop. To me, that would be like so nerve-wracking because I'd be so afraid I'd forget something.
It was, and I remember thinking, there's nowhere to hide if I do something wrong, right? There's no one to blame it on, and there's nowhere to hide. So it did take a lot of humility and a lot of growing in humility to say, like, yep, that was on me when a mistake happened.
So Archbishop Figueron, though, is such a kind soul. He's such a, you know, calm. He always calms me down whenever he comes on the air. It's like, okay, my blood pressure drops, like, you know, 10 points. But, like, if you made a mistake, would he just kind of, like, very slowly and quietly say, Father, or just give you that kindly, fatherly look?
Well, depending on what happened, right? Sometimes it was a scheduling mistake. Sometimes it was going in the wrong direction to go to a church when I was with him, bringing him to a confirmation. So depending on the level, but he was always a very kind, fatherly person to live with and to work for.
He's got to be excited about all the things that are going on in the city. I mean, the opportunities right now are incredible.
Yeah, I think Father Mario Amore being in the city is, to my mind, bringing kind of some life. And I know it's attracting some young people who live and work in the city to, you know, think more deeply about their faith and to have the opportunity to grow in their faith, both through daily mass, through the church being open to go in and pray, and then through other opportunities where they can gather with other young adults and learn about their faith either intellectually or put it into practice in doing works of service.
Yeah, it's just great things going on. I know Dominic has worked downtown all of his career, and he's seen such a resurgence and excitement in the downtown area. So you just marked, Father, 2 years as your position at Director of Evangelization, Catechesis, and Schools. That's pretty exciting.
It is. We have some wonderful stuff going on in our Catholic schools and with our youth ministry efforts and all the different areas I get to collaborate with, but I'm just especially excited about this series we have in Detroit this summer to do something that we've seen the need for in the past couple of years but haven't found an approach or had the bandwidth, to use a phrase, to really reach out to. So I think God's doing some wonderful things in the Archdiocese of Detroit, and I'm grateful that he's using me to do some of those.
Yeah, and you had the art event, as you mentioned, at St. Anne's, and the novena that's going on right now. There's all kinds of cool stuff. Young Catholic professionals, very active in Detroit. I mean, we do have lots of issues, and let's not deny it, and I think we've been very upfront about it. But at the same time, we can't get caught up in all the negativity. We have to address it, and we have to talk about it and make sure that we are, you know, changing the church in a good way and solving some of those problems. But getting caught up in all that negativity and discouragement causes such division, and it breaks my heart, because there are good things going on, and we're not being Pollyanna. We just want to help people stay focused on Christ.
Yeah, and, you know, the young people I deal with and work with, I know, are just starving for authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And they want so much people who are authentic, who can look squarely at the challenges and say, yeah, these are real. This is a real problem that we can't ignore. But we also have to realize that Christ is more powerful than all of our weakness. And so I think what the devil wants us to do is to lose sight of Jesus by staring at the problem.
Yeah.
And what Jesus wants us to do is to take all of the gifts and the talents and the opportunity he gives us and to say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with these challenges and these opportunities? So, you know, the focus, instead of just staring at the challenges, is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and
yeah.
in and through him, to allow him to work in us to bring about renewal in the church and to spread the good news of the gospel.
I was telling you, we had a gathering, I think I was telling you this during the break, we had a gathering with all the deacon couples, you know, Deacon Mike Houghton and Anita and Dave Kerrigan and Liz and Lucy and Francis King and all the amazing people that went through the seminary with Dominic and were ordained in 2012. And we'd sit around and just catch up two or three times a year. We're a very close-knit group. And Deacon Kerrigan from A Good Counsel was saying that we were talking about, you know, the crisis in the world and in the church and the attacks on the church and on life and all these things. And we were all saying that despite all of this, in our own journeys, traveling and working out there and being, you know, in the world but not of the world, that we've never met a person that if you say, you know, can I pray for you about this, or, you know, is this something you'd like me to take prayer, doesn't matter where they're at spiritually, whether they're Catholic, Protestant, whatever, atheist, agnostic, I've never had anybody say no to me. Or I've never felt when I, you know, get into a conversation about with someone, Father and Deacon Dave, and we all concurred on this, people are still searching, and they need, at the end of the day, they need Jesus.
Well, I think that's the reality of the gospel, that God made us to be in relationship with him. And when we don't have that, we realize something is missing.
Right.
And sometimes there's insecurity or there's defensiveness or hurt that kind of we cover that part up with. So I've experienced that, you know, that hurt or that defensiveness from people. But deep down, you can realize there's something they desire. They know that there's more that they want and that they're made for than even the best things of this world can provide. And so they know when we proclaim Jesus either directly in our words or when we proclaim him by the way we live our lives, there's something attractive and beautiful that God wants to do in their life. And and I share that sentiment, Teresa. When you ask people, can I pray for you, or let's pray about that now, the response, you know, is always an openness.
Right. There's not, oh, you're nuts, leave me alone, get out, you know. No, it's just the opposite. Help me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And that's a real privileged moment for us as believers to enter into someone's life in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm hoping you're going to share some of your journey into the priesthood tonight, Father.
I hadn't made that part of the talk. Do you think I should, Teresa?
Yes. Hello.
Okay.
Testimony.
All right.
Personal stories. Tell a story. I'm just saying.
All right.
No, I'm serious, because here you are, a young, dynamic, articulate man. You could have done anything. I mean, you could have taken your political science degree and gone to work, you know, in politics, or maybe in some sort of big professional organization, you know, to be out there and make a difference in a different way, you know, in the world, in terms of maybe legislation or other types of political arenas. And yet you are in the church, and you're funny, and you're joyful, and I think people, you talk about sincerity. I don't think there's a phony bone. I've known you for a long time in your body. And so I think telling your story about why in the world would somebody who could do anything, you know, in this wonderful country of ours, would you decide to go into the priesthood? And you entered the seminary in the midst of all the controversy, right?
Yeah.
Not that I'm telling you how to do your job. I'm just saying, you've got a great story.
This is This is me ripping up my talk that I prepared for tonight and redoing it now. So, yeah. No, I think, it's ultimately because Christ broke into my life and he showed me
Bingo.
A deeper path.
Bingo. There's the nugget, Father, right there.
Boom.
How did that happen? Bada boom, bada bing, as we Italians would say. Although you're going to be at a Greek restaurant that makes pizza, but they do make good pizza, I have to admit. So this is tonight at 6:30, and this is at wonderful Pizzapopolis in Greektown, and this is for Theology on Tap, which is a young person's group, and they're looking for folks, 20 to 35, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the tap part implies alcohol, so at least 21, but, if you're under 21, they just won't serve you, which is good. And then the upper end is mid-30s into 40.
I'm way past that age limit.
There's a couple of things. There's the truth part, so there's the sharing the truth of the gospel, but there's also the community part. So young people gathering together to say, hey, maybe I'm going to Mass on the weekend, but I don't know a lot of other people who are part of that. It's a chance for me to come and be around people who are striving to live out their faith. Because God does not desire us to walk our journey alone.
Exactly. And God has a great adventure for you. But really, share your story, because it's phenomenal. I mean, people love testimonies, and you're so happy and you're so joyful. And if it's about happiness, you need to tell them why you're happy.
All right.
Okay?
This is like a coaching session. Hey,
Well, you deserve a break, because you coach all of us so well all the time. Father, God love you. Thanks for all the great work you do. And we're going to pray that there's a standing room only. I'm sure it's already going to be crowded. But this is this evening at 6:30 in Greektown in downtown Detroit. It's part of the Summer in Detroit series. Great stuff going on, especially for our young people that are just packing the D, as we would say. You can find the event listed on the diocesan events section of the website. But again, 6:30, Greektown. This is on Monroe Street, Pizzapopolis upstairs. Great location. And it's going to be a great talk and great social time, fellowship, as Father said, by our friend Father Stephen Polos from the Archdiocese of Detroit. So be there or be square, as they say, although that's probably too way old-fashioned. Anyway, talking about happiness, and there's only one thing, one person that can make you happy, and that is that relationship with Christ, because everything flows from it. If you don't have that relationship with Jesus, you don't know who you are, and if you don't know who you are, you'll continue to wander and grasp at all kinds of other things. And as St. Augustine says, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. You want to be happy? Jesus. We'll be right back. All kinds of ways to take the gospel to the streets and unleash it for people to embrace the truth of who they are, made in the image and likeness of God, especially when it comes to the pro-life issues. On the phone with me, my friends Christine and Richard Haas from St. Joan of Arc, very involved in organizing the efforts that the Archdiocese really is telling all the parishes to do in terms of signing these petitions, getting folks to help hand out these petitions, to sign them regarding dismemberment abortion. So we're talking with Christine and Richard. And Christine, let me go to you first. How goes it? I know that you laid out a really nice, you're so organized and you're such a good PR media person. You've laid out this whole plan. And let's take a look at what it actually is looking like in St. Joan of Arc, which is a really big parish on the east side in the Archdiocese.
Well, we've done this before, let me say. We did it with a petition drive a handful of years ago. And so what we're doing is we're organizing our pro-life group and our pro-life friends, in the parish. And we will have an informational meeting in August, actually the first week in August, and invite everybody from the parish who wants to come to learn more about the laws or the petition drives that are out there, specifically the ban for the end dismemberment abortion. And then we'll seek volunteers to help with our actual drive, which we're planning on having 2 weekends in September once school gets back, because as you know, weekend masses are a little lighter during the summer as people mm-hmm. are vacationing. So we'll have a training session, and to make sure that obviously that we do our job and get the petition signed properly with all the elements so that all the signatures count. And St. Joan of Arc has so many escape exits at that church. There's so many exits that we need. We need all kinds of people, you know, on board to man every exit so that we can speedily get folks to sign the petition as they're departing from Mass. So mm-hmm. that's our plan so far, and then we'll continue, you know, with a few volunteers every weekend until the drive is over.
Also joining you is your wonderful husband, Richard. Richard, how do you see this as someone who's been active in the pro-life movement for a long time, as an educational process as well? Because even if folks are going to Mass every week, whether it's at St. Joan or another parish, they may not know about what's happening politics-wise in terms of the state, and they may not even be aware of how extreme abortion is in Michigan and elsewhere, even though they're Catholics and they may vote faithfully. They may just kind of take it for granted that these kinds of things don't happen or think that this doesn't happen. How important is the education aspect here, do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember many years ago when we just didn't have a clue on some of these things as well. You know, the numbers. And literally, you know, I mean, obviously we're talking about this ban specific, which is dismemberment. And so people don't even think about what abortion is. So this is, you know, runs the gamut of, you know, multiple points of, just creating a dialogue and an opportunity for greater, education on the numbers, on the statistics, on what happens on a day-to-day basis, locally in Michigan, and what unfortunately abortion is, and the reality of it. So it just creates an opportunity for us to bring this to light for those that just are not familiar.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, the culture, you know, the media, Planned Parenthood have done, unfortunately, a very good job of sanitizing the killing of the innocent, and now saying that they want this and nothing wrong with going all the way through 9 months, even though that's what Roe v. Wade gives us in Doe v. Bolton. But there have been so many safeguards, if you want to, or limits put in place to prevent that from happening. But all that's been thrown out the window now, not only in Michigan, but across the country. If you have a question for Christine or Richard on their efforts, 877-573-7825. And Christine, do you think this could be an example for other parishes who haven't started their efforts yet?
Yes, and actually, absolutely. We would love to invite other parishes if they'd like to come to our informational / initial volunteer rallying meeting on August 6th. They are more than welcome. So, the doors are open at St. John. So on August 6th at 7 p.m. is our planned meeting. And we'll have some information about it as we solidify all of our dates and plans on the St. Joan of Arc website, which is sjascs.org.
Okay, give that website one more time.
sjascs.org.
Mm-hmm, which is St. Joan of Arc, St. Clair Shores, so just remember that.
Right.
Richard, getting back to you, how do you see this as an outreach? So I was talking to Christine about this, too. You're training the people, and then hopefully really spreading that message in terms of not just other parishes, but a public awareness as well.
Right. And again, you know, what you were sort of alluding to before, which I'll use the word euphemisms, basically is the sanitizing of words and thoughts of what abortion is and what it isn't. The media, society, the culture at large is just so good at doing that. And sort of pulling the wool over the eyes of the masses to make everything seem like, well, worse or not as bad as pulling a tooth out. So again, it's an opportunity to bring greater awareness for those that just are not familiar because they have been confused.
Yeah, and Teresa, the climate is a little different this time, you know, because of the national news with the other states and the laws that have recently been passed. This will definitely be interesting for us because, you know, a lot of people are either more motivated for the pro-life cause or angrier posed to it. So this will definitely be very interesting and a different experience than it has been in the past because of the heightened emotional response that's been going on this subject in recent months.
Now, there are some, and I've heard from some people, whose pastors, unfortunately, are just not making the effort to follow directive from the Archdiocese and get involved. What recommendations, I mean, people can do this on their own. I mean, they may not be able to organize at the parish if the pastor says no because you want to be obedient. But what do you think they can do on their own, maybe in their own home, doing something similar to what you're doing? Because you can do something on your own if you're told you can't specifically do it in the parish and you're not getting any support from your parish office.
Right. Well, the website for the group organizing this is MichiganValuesLife.org, and you can go on there and there's obviously informational pieces as well as you can order supplies for petitions, learn how to organize groups, as well as there are posters and buttons and things like that that individuals can certainly order to raise awareness. And there's no cost for that.
Right. Yeah. So you could just literally get petitions on your own and go anywhere to your friends, your family, in front of the post office or any place that that is the sort of a safe zone that you're allowed to obtain petitions, set up yourself a table or just a clipboard. And get out there.
And then maybe even get some help. Go to one of your events and say, okay, this is how this parish is doing it, and maybe I can take this and maybe if I can't do it in my own parish, do it in other parishes. Help other parishes.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Come help us. And we know that our folks at St. Joan, they'll come and we'll do the drive, but I know many will take it also to the streets. Take it to events when we have, car cruises and things like that that are local. And there are a lot of people gathered. But it's important to know how to get the signatures and how to get them accurately so that those efforts actually count and make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then as far as the parishes or those parishes that maybe the pastors that might not be so open to this, it's unfortunate because Archbishop Vigneron in the Archdiocese of Detroit has totally come out and pushed for this ban. So I would hope that they would listen to those that are in the Archdiocese of Detroit. The pastors listen to the Good Shepherd, our Archbishop Bigger.
Yeah, this is actually a directive from the AOD saying that he wants parishes to do this. So he's not saying, think about it, sit back and, file your nails and then think about it. And he's saying, no, we need to do this and we need to jump on this. Now he's been very upfront, and even one of our listeners contacted downtown Detroit regarding priests, getting the priests involved and the pastors involved, and they wrote him right back and said, "This is what we're doing. Here's our plan." And he wrote me thrilled that he had such a direct and immediate response from the Archdiocese in this effort. So, I don't know why some pastors are not. Yeah, I'm not going to judge them. That's between them and God. It could be that they're just super busy and they're thinking, "Oh my gosh, I can't handle another thing." So this may be your opportunity to say, "Well, Father, I notice we're not doing this yet. I'd like to do this in the parish, and I'd like to help, and I'd like to have a couple of people that will help us do that." So they can get a lot of great advice from you. And the evening of August 6th, correct, Christina?
Correct.
Okay, at St. John Park.
Right.
Yeah, all right. And sjascs.org. Also, to find out just more background information, the Michigan Catholic Conference has a great deal of information on their website, as well as MichiganValuesLife.org. Again, MichiganValuesLife.org. We have to speak the truth in love, and part of that means taking to the streets about some topics that are pretty tough to talk about, but that need to be discussed and things that people need to be aware of. Thank you both, and God bless you, and look forward
to
seeing how this develops. And very organized effort by the pro-life leaders at St. Joan of Arc Parish in St. Clair Shores. 8:53 on a Tuesday. We will be right back and let you know what's coming up in our National Hour. Stay tuned.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Want better behaved kids? Here's a simple tip to instantly correct almost any inappropriate behavior. Instead of lecturing or wasting time developing increasingly strict or creative punishments, use do-overs to help your child learn to speak and act more appropriately on the spot. For instance, if your child speaks disrespectfully, insist they choose better words in a better tone and make them say it again until they express themselves well. Another example, if your child does a chore sloppily, require them to start over from the beginning, as many times as necessary, until they can demonstrate they know how to do the chore to your expectations. You don't need to yell. Let the do-over do the talking for you. And when they succeed, remember to compliment their effort. Good discipline teaches kids what to do, instead of just telling them what not to do. For more tips to make parenting easier, check out Parenting with Grace. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
We know how much you love Ave Maria Radio, so please consider joining us in our Care to Share program. It's easy. We send you 10 business-size cards that give you all the great ways that someone can listen to Ave Maria Radio, and you just give them away. Share them with those you love and those who would really benefit from our great programming. For more information, go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to find the Care to Share program link. That's AveMariaRadio.net, Community, and Care to Share.
Speaking of pro-life discussions, Carrie Solomon and Chuck Konzelman joining us in the National Hour at 9:15. Get your calls and your questions ready at 877-573-7825. There's been a lot going on with this film in more ways than one, not only in the attacks on trying to prevent it from being shown and distributed in various parts of the world, including right across the river in Canada. They were finally able to release the movie recently there. Huge success. But also, both Carrie and Chuck went before Congress to testify about their freedom of speech violations when it comes to what happened with the film and social media. And, of course, a lot of that discussion still taking place on a national level with folks like Dennis Prager and other conservative speakers and talk show hosts getting out there and saying, this is ridiculous. There are constant attempts to silence us. Why? If you are confident in what you believe, just put the information out there and let people make up their own minds. But no, because the truth we know sets people free, especially in the area of abortion and what's happening with the largest abortion provider, Planned Parenthood. So, Carrie Solomon and Chuck Konzelman, and also, speaking of life, Chris Reynolds, Executive Director of the Couple to Couple League, joins us at 39 minutes past the hour. Plus you. Stay tuned. More Catholic Connection coming up on a Tuesday.